Right, so welcome to this week's edition of Blues Talk, where I'm joined by David and Dave this week. So, lads, Edinburgh at the weekend, great win.
Great win, considering the missing, 13 internationals, and up against a pretty strong Edinburgh team who played us off the park and for large parts in Edinburgh.
And it was 11 changes from the team against Connacht.
It was, yeah. It's always good to see a team that has to change like that is at least able to perform with a certain amount of consistency. And for the month of October, Leinster have been very consistent. So they have, five games, five wins.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, good return.
We wouldn't have thought that at the end of September.
Certainly wouldn't have. People, maybe not Leinster supporters, but a lot of people outside of the Leinster thing were expressing serious doubts about Schmidt. I think he's answered all those doubts.
I think he has. He seems to have galvanised the squad, and it seems like there was a bit of soul searching done, particularly after the Edinburgh game. There was a lot of missed tackles, and I think he mentioned himself in the post-match analysis that a lot of guys were falling off tackles at that stage. And sure, next week was Munster, and there's nothing to galvanise a team than seeing the red men in red on the pitch in front of you.
True.
And but we did leak two tries. I mean, it wasn't all brilliant at the weekend.
No, it wasn't. There was League Two tries, but again, it was a lot of inexperience, and of course, it's going to be continuity issues with the players chopping and changing all the time. And Edinburgh took their chances. I mean, like, there was a mismatch with Richard Strauss on the wing
against
Tim Visser. So there was only going to be one winner there.
Yeah, but I thought we were poor, you know, for the break that Patterson got.
Well, again, it was a case of mismatch. Patterson, in the initial break that led up to the try, it was a back going between a hooker and a lock.
Yeah.
And for the actual Patterson sprint itself, he was left on the outside shoulder of a prop. Mm. I mean, that's the difference between experienced and inexperienced players. The experienced players in attack look for mismatches, and experienced players in defence try to prevent them. We didn't have the experienced players in defence, and so Patterson,
who's got like 80 or 90.
Yeah, who let's remember is a world-class player, was able to find the mismatch, and we paid for it.
So, once again, I mean, Issa was just brilliant, but we'll talk about him in a little bit. I thought Hines had a great game, and we can look at it now, just his little offload for Conway's try.
Yeah, it was a bit of an odd try, because it comes from a loose kick, and in the past, Leinster have kicked away ball has been kicked loosely, but when the Nasiwa at fullback, he's just going to go for it, which he does, and he puts in a lovely clever kick here. Looks a bit silly, but then you see that O'Malley is coming up on the wing, and the thing is, when the ball goes out of play, the real players switch on, and O'Malley was switched on there. Quick line out, and we just went into it.
Everyone was alert to it.
Yeah. And you see, what Edinburgh did well here is, because it's what all Scottish teams do well, they spoil and they slow the ball down. We found it very, very hard to generate any real pace off the ball here. So, but what we're having here is we're basically having to work for every single yard. I mean, it's going wide, but it's not really going wide with any purpose. It's just hard going and hard going and hard going.
It's always like that against Edinburgh.
It is, yeah. Against Scottish teams, it's so hard to generate pace because they flop over the ball. There's a guy lying there and he's accidentally offside and all this kind of stuff.
Pretending to roll.
Yeah, exactly. So what we had to do is, you know, you have to wait for your opportunity until you can generate a bit of pace on the ball. So, and all you do is you just suck in men. And then what happens here is, well, it's not here, it's actually in the next phase. Bob comes back to Madigan. He plays an inside ball here. And we get the quick clean out on this one. And then the ball goes. And we see lovely hands.
Lovely hands.
Yeah.
I think as a team that their hands have improved immeasurably.
Oh, immensely.
Particularly from the start of the season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they've obviously start of the season, there's pre-season kind of jitter, hangover, you know. But what really makes this is it's two things. For start, it's Hines taking the contact on his own terms. And secondly, it's the pace and the depth and the angle that Conway comes from. He doesn't just come on a straight line or fade towards the line. He cuts back in. And that creates difficulties for the defence.
He's going in with a soft shoulder.
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah. But it's a nice start to his Leinster career. He's been very good so far.
He's only 19.
Yeah.
Here's Nasiwa.
Yeah.
More steps. Absolutely. There.
Absolutely. It's a problem. And this kick, I think, certain media pundits were complaining about that he kicked that ball. But that was actually a very clever kick, because mm-hmm. O'Malley was out wide, which you couldn't see. If you've got the narrow view, you can't see him. But if you're looking at the whole thing, O'Malley's outside, and that kick actually directly contributed to the try.
And yeah. The quick thinking by O'Malley to take the quick throw again, to catch Edinburgh on the hop.
Heads up rugby.
Yeah. I thought Strauss had another fine game.
He did, and he's put in a number of fine games now. And for the size of him, he really puts himself about almost like a back rower.
Yeah. And I mean, he's an extra back rower, as you say, you know, so we're playing with essentially four in the back row.
He's like a pocket battleship. Yeah. He just keeps, with the ball in hand, he plays like a front row player. I mean, he mullocks up, and he's real power and he's real pace. Maybe not Tim Visser pace, but real pace. But defensively, he's absolutely superb. He really, really is. I don't know what the number of hookers they have in South Africa must be amazing if they let this guy slip through the net.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking of.
In terms of defense, like against Saracens a few weeks ago, when he was bimmed, he was actually quite unlucky because he did nothing illegal on the ground.
No,
he was just happened to be the wrong guy in the wrong place. Yeah. And Leinster had committed.
Burdos just saw a hand in.
Burdos was going to send somebody to the bin, and Strauss just happened to be the next guy in line. But I think he's been an absolutely superb signing. So he has. I mean, it took him a while to get into the thing because he was moving. He was moving 3,000 miles away. So it took him a lot of last season and he had a bit of an injury just to get up to speed. But this season he's hit the ground running.
He really has.
Yeah.
And you know, just looking at the four, there was four young guys playing. There was Madigan, O'Malley, Conway, and Ryan. And you know, I think there was a bit of a mixed bag from them. But I was talking to somebody there the other day, and he was very critical of Madigan. But I thought Madigan had a good game. I mean, okay, he's not the finished article, but he's still only a young guy.
I know, was he 21 or something?
Yeah, 21. Yeah,
so, I mean, he's still got plenty to learn. I mean, I don't think Johnny Saxon was the finished article when he first arrived either, and look at him now.
But isn't it wonderful that we have the opportunity in the Magnus League to blood these guys and to give them a couple of seasons? And, you know, if he comes on as quickly as Saxon has in the last couple of years...
Well, I think it's notable that he has actually come on well. Remember, Saxon, to a certain extent, had a few advantages... in that he generally got to play with either Chris Whittaker, who was an extraordinarily experienced scrum half, and Felipe, who again was a very experienced player, and then he got to play with the Leinster backline, who were all very experienced. Whereas Madigan this season hasn't really had those opportunities. He had once against Racing, and I don't think it's any fluke that was his best game. But
those guys will make you look good.
Well, they do, yeah. But that's what a young player needs, you know, to give him that little boost. Whereas he didn't have that against Edinburgh, but he still managed to look at least competent, and we know that he can do better than that when you consider he had a young scrum half and relatively inexperienced scrum half in O'Donoghue inside him, and a young centre combination the other side of him. I think that that Edinburgh performance, in years to come, we look back on it and think, yeah, that was actually better than people gave it credit for at the time.
Mm. So we're 2 months into the season now, and you know, last month kind of really turned around the season for us. We're up to fifth in the league, point behind Ulster. Fifth in the Magners, and obviously the two matches in the Heineken so far, but like we've had kind of a mixed bag, you know, a couple of very poor games at the start against Treviso, Edinburgh, Glasgow, but last few matches we certainly improved.
I suppose the with the player management system with the World Cup being enforced, so to speak, that when the internationals first came back, they were coming back for their pre-season for those games, so they were rusty.
Yeah. I think what's also happened is if we actually look back on those games that we lost, Edinburgh away, Glasgow away, Treviso away, what annoyed us most about them was the fact that they were games that, looking at them, that we could have won. The Glasgow game and the Edinburgh game in particular were games that we could have won, and we lost them probably because of the callow nature of the team. The guys just didn't have the experience. They didn't have, because it's hard to go and win away in Scotland. I mean, it doesn't happen all that often.
Even when we have our team,
have our full team, we find it difficult to go and win away in Scotland. So if you've got an inexperienced team out there, well, it's no surprise that they're going to find it hard. But what annoyed us was that we knew that those guys had enough in them to win those games.
But remember, like a couple of for two seasons, I think, you know, we played a very, very weak team, say against Dragons, and even when there was one or two experienced guys, they just seemed disinterested. Whereas this year, I think Smith has had the opportunity to throw in some young fellas, and then still have a Darcy or You know, Jennings playing with them to.
I think Cheka was quite content to sacrifice the Dragons game.
Yeah,
I mean, we did it 2 or 3 years in a row, where he just throw in a bunch of young lads and say, "Right, this is a character builder for you. We don't really care about this result," which to a certain extent we didn't. Last year we'd reached the playoffs. The year before we'd the Heineken Cup to focus on. The year before we won the league, so I don't think he really cared.
No.
Schmidt, on the other hand, seems to have a slightly different attitude. In terms of those games, anyway. He wants to blend players in rather than let them go en masse. So we'll see who's better in terms of the player development. I mean, Cheka, you can't criticise his record.
I mean, you think of the, going back to, say, the World Cup in 07, and think of some of the guys that were missing from that, who 2 years later went on to play, started for the Lions, won Heineken Cups.
Well, he brought through three Lions.
Yeah.
You know, he brought through Rob, he brought through Luke, and he brought through Jamie Heaslip. Although those guys had the talent, they were always going to make it. Somebody still had to. Well, the coach still had to take a chance.
Mr. Sullivan didn't.
But Cheka took the risk on them.
You could say that their performances were probably aided by not going to that World Cup. In fairness,
I'd say so. They were.
They didn't have the baggage. As well,
they didn't. No. They didn't have that whiff of sulphur that accompanied some of the players after it.
So before we talk about the internationals, we're going to have a quick break and Miriam's going to bring us up to date with the latest news from the Magnus League.
Thanks, Jason. The weekend started last Friday night where a last-minute try from Ivan Dineen sealed a 16-6 away win for Munster at Ravenhill and denied Ulster a losing bonus point. Meanwhile, Cardiff Blues beat Aironi 23 in Italy, while Scarlets made it a Welsh double with an 18-14 victory over the Glasgow Warriors and Parky Scarlets. While Leinster were taking on Edinburgh in the RDS, in the Liberty Stadium, the Magnus League champions, the Ospreys, went down to a surprising home loss 16-21 to the Dragons. The final match of the weekend saw Connacht travel to Italy, where they took on Benetton Treviso. Unfortunately for the Westerners, it was to be an almost fruitless trip, with the home side winning out 24-17. They did, however, secure the losing bonus point. And back to you, Jason.
So thanks very much for that, Miriam. And so now Lad's just going to talk about the international coming up now against South Africa on Saturday. Any idea of a possible starting 15?
I would think the playmaker role, I think it will be Jonathan Sexton starting. And then if need be, O'Gara could come on if you know, either need to stay the ship or anything like that. But I think it's the kind of game that Sexton needs a bit more exposure of at that kind of level if he's going to be selected to play in a World Cup.
I think he's going to go for Redden and Sexton.
I think he is.
Familiarity.
Well, whatever about Redden, actually, I think Stringer is the form scrum half in Ireland at the moment. But the reason why Sexton's, let's not, you know, some people are throwing a few crumbs to O'Gara, who's a player I admire, by saying, oh, we're just doing it to bring Sexton on. No, we're not. We're doing it because Johnny Sexton's the best out half in Ireland at the moment. That's why you should start against the world champions. And then we have the second best out half in Ireland at the moment, Ron O'Gara, a proven, experienced international who has to answer to no one in terms of what he's done in his career, to come on if we need him. I mean, it's a great situation to be in. But I still think that the reason Sexton will start is because Sexton is the better player at this point in time. Stringer should start because Stringer is the better player at this point in time. But whether...
he might get bullied by the...
Well, some people say I've yet to see anyone manage to bully Peter Stringer.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's a valid point.
Tronk needed a right hook to do it. I mean, Stringer is one of those guys. Every time he plays against us, I absolutely hate him because he's such an annoying little fecker. But if he's
playing... He's the most tenacious fella.
If he's playing
against Ulster, he puts through a lovely little tap tackle. It's sort of trademark tap tackle.
If he's playing for your team, you're going to worship the guy because he leaves nothing on the pitch. So he gives everything. He gives absolutely everything. And he is the form player at the moment. And I think, you know, he should be. People are saying, oh, we should be building for the World Cup. The World Cup's next season or next year. I mean, we don't really need to build.
Yeah.
Unless somebody comes through this year, you're talking about your Dunica Ryans or your Dominic Ryans or... maybe somebody up in Ulster like Ian Whitten or something, unless, or Luke Marshall, unless one of those guys storms through, we pretty much know what the core of our squad is going to be. And the reason that it's going to be the core of our squad is because they are the best.
But the difference is that we probably have 25 as a, of a core squad rather than last time around.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just having the untouchable 15. Yeah.
No, there is genuine competition. I mean, there is genuine competition at out half. There is genuine competition at half back. There's genuine competition on the wings with Earl, Fitzgerald, Horgan, Bow, Trimble.
Yeah.
I mean, you could pick any two from those and argue about the rest. Like, well,
even a propster's competition.
Yeah, it's astonishing how it's come on. You've got, like you say, you've got Marcus Horn, you've got Keane Healy, you've got Brett Wilkinson, who are all playing well.
And Ross has improved this year.
Tighthead, you've got Ross, you've got Buckley. Can't discount John Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. Jamie Hagan over in Connacht, who I mentioned last week, I think is going really well. Tom Court up at Ulster. I mean, 2 years ago, did we have these guys? We were going, oh, where are we getting props? What are we going to do for props? What are we going to do for props? And suddenly we've all these guys who are at least making a good fist of it, you know?
One area of weakness, is going to be our second row, especially when you've got some of the monsters, you know, up against the monsters from South Africa.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got... I don't think Cullen's done enough to warrant a starting position. Particularly after they sent him back to Leinster last week. So I think it's going to be Mick O'Driscoll and Donegal O'Callaghan starting the second row.
I'd certainly agree with Donegal O'Callaghan starting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, he's never really let Ireland down in the past.
No.
And he's the one that's in there doing all the donkey work.
And he is a guy who steps up whenever he's playing. Whenever he's not playing with O'Connell, he steps up his game. I think sometimes he gets a bit overawed by the aura of greatness that surrounds O'Connell.
He ends up having to do the work that makes O'Connell look good.
Well, that's certainly one way of putting it. But he always in fairness to him, and I suppose it shows what a good pro he is. When the other guy is away, he steps up his game. Mick O'Driscoll is a great player for Munster.
I don't think he should stay at Munster.
No, he's not. I mean, the guy we should be playing in that game is Devon Toner. I mean, you know, people talk about, oh, he's too light. He's the heaviest. He's actually the heaviest professional prop in Ireland.
Second row.
Sorry, what did I say? Prop. Sorry, I meant lock. He's the heaviest. He's the heaviest professional lock in Ireland.
Yeah.
You'd want to be for the size of him.
You'd want to be for the size of him.
But my mother would say he'd be big boned.
You'd be big boned. But, you know, he's certainly big enough.
He's bulked up from last season.
He's bulked up from last season. He gives us, you know, if the hooker's anyway sharp, he gives us guaranteed lineup ball. So I think he should be given his chance.
You don't even need to code the call.
He's playing well. He's playing well. I mean, it's not as if it's a call that would come out of left centre or left field. I mean, he is playing well.
Yeah.
And do you think there's a value in these autumn internationals? Is it just a money-making racket for the IRFU? Or, you know, are we going to really see any... Is Kidney just going to try and win a couple of big matches and try and get a scalp against the Box and the All Blacks? Or is he actually going to build a squad or, you know, bring some fellas from left field, as you say, like a Devon Toner, you know, or some of the young kids coming through up in the north?
It's funny, we always say, oh, these autumn internationals are stupid, oh, they're a waste, they're getting in the way of the Heineken Cup and Magnus League. We never say the same thing about the summer tours. And for the Southern Hemisphere countries, this is their summer tour. So I suppose the advantage is the autumn internationals are really for the Southern Hemisphere to get to do something. And our summer tour is for us to do something, I think. I think a top team is built on what it does away from home on tour.
The thing is, though, is that are they kind of losing their, I suppose, their aura? Because we're playing New Zealand twice a year, South Africa twice a year. If you got to see New Zealand in Dublin once every 4 years.
It was like nearly the equivalent of a Lions tour for them, you know.
Well, now it's... They just turn up every year.
If you miss one this year, sure you might get them next year.
Well, look at the thing. Like, people are... There's the whole ticketing farrago, which we're not going to go into, but because the IRFU are having a meeting tonight, so it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. But there's a whole ticketing thing going on. But the fact is, even with the overpriced tickets, and even with the whole kind of thing, nobody really cares about... Nobody's really that broken heart. Like, I've decided not to go. I couldn't be bothered. I'll go and watch the games, and I'm not going to shell out €100 if I don't see them.
But you can see the amount of tickets that they can't shift. Considering they had trouble they had no trouble shifting 80,000 when Croke Park opened up.
Yeah, against Italy, last.
I know they can't shift 50,000.
Yeah.
Well, if you're relying on ticket sales at provincial matches, which they're doing, I mean, they were taking cash for tickets on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's for the South Africa game, for the opening game in the Aviva Stadium against the world champions.
Which you would think would have the big novelty factor for just people who wanted to go and go, was that the first game? But people are kind of stepping back.
Well, 100 quid's 100 quid, you know?
And it's a lot of pints. 100 quid is a lot more than it used to be.
No, but like, we sat behind the goal at the Munster match, and you know that view, if that was your 100 quid ticket as opposed to sitting on the halfway line, you'd feel a bit shortchanged.
You would, because you're just watching it on the telly anyway, big screen, and then when anything happens, they turn it off.
Now, if you do that down the Horseshoe House, at least Eamon will bring you a pint.
Well, on that note, we'll say good luck and thanks very much for watching. Thanks, lads.
Thanks.
Thank you.